Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life podcast. My name is Michelle Burkhardt, and I'm your host. Welcome. All right, today I want to talk about competition. This has kind of really been weighing on my mind lately. Maybe a little heavier than I thought, I realized as I sighed like that. I've just been experiencing or witnessing, maybe observing a lot of folks who are in the space that I'm in the coaching, speaking, training space, and the extreme competitiveness about them. You can tell it in their languaging and their marketing, the way that they talk about other people. And I don't jive with that, quite honestly. I am much more like, let's be a collaborator. Let's work together. And so I'm really attracting those people in my life right now, those who want to, do really important, meaningful work, have fun, but work together. So I want to talk about competition. So first of all, I don't believe children are born to be a competitor. I don't think that's inherent in them. I think the drive to kind of outperform and really defeat other people is taught, whether that's, in the sports world or in the business world or, beating somebody out for a better grade on a sliding scale. I think every person who's born has this inherent want or need to master things, right? So, children will master physical things like crawling and walking and running. They'll master, emotional things like being able to regulate or not regulate, right? They'll definitely learn new things cognitively, right? So we all, even as a grown adult humans, I hope you still have that innate sense of like, what do I want to master right now? Okay. So one of the things that came from that conference last week, which I mean, I've kind of gotten to the point in my work right now that I'm a master of a lot of the things that I do because I've been doing this for so long. And so I'm always on the lookout for like what's next, right? And there I received some information, honestly, that was like side conversations and just pulling somebody aside, asking some questions, not even from a session. But I'm really excited about it. There's some processes that I'm going to put into place that I'm like, oh, I've never done that before. Let's go after it and let's try this. So I do believe we have that sense of wanting to master new skills, wanting to learn, as children, like, let me learn how to put this puzzle together. Let me learn how to ride my bike. Let me learn how to, my kids are have always been into board games and card games because I always was as a kid. Let me be the best at that, right? Right now, my daughter Ellie loves to play Scrabble. She knows she's going to lose when she plays against me, but she loves to play anyway, right? They don't necessarily, they're not looking at like, how can I beat everybody else in this spelling test, right? Maybe they love spelling and they'll go to a spelling bee, but that competition is really kind of taught to them, right? But here's the thing, when you're winning, whatever that is in whatever realm, is tied to, the only way that you can get love or approval or be noticed. And losing brings this sense of deep shame and criticism. That really kind of cripples the idea of self-mastery, right? So once we start to add in competition and say, you have to be the best or you're not going to get noticed, well, then you're no longer driven inherently from that idea of how can I just master this thing because I want to. Right? So when we're taught that winning is important all the time and we're pushed to be, the best, that is a character trait or personality style, if you will. I don't know exactly the label that you would put on it, but basically that creates ruthless adults. And I'm seeing this in the business space, especially the coaching space, where in the coaching space, I mean, we're there to support people and help them to grow. I'm seeing a lot of people who are calling themselves coaches, but they are ruthless. And I'm like, that's not necessarily in alignment with who a coach is. I'm also seeing this in so-called healers or so-called spiritual guides, that they are ruthless. I'm like, that doesn't really align with the you know, kind of the spirit of what you're trying to do. Now, for some people, the need for that love kind of warps into this drive to really be the best, right? Regardless of how it might hurt other people, right? In other people, it causes performance anxiety, right? All the way throughout every aspect of their life. And that fear of, you know, being a quote unquote loser prevents them from taking risks, from, you know, exploring things that might be new. Even keeps them, like in my situation, from reaching out to a friend and asking for help, right? Because you don't want to be seen as weak or as someone who, you know, has a need. Because it's been, you know, conditioned out of you. So this, you know, kill or be killed thing, right? You know, in ancient Rome, when they had the gladiators, and it was like, that's it. You go into that ring and you kill or be killed. That's it. You know, that kind of competition, I believe, is done in our society. And, you know, Darwin's, you know, survival of the fittest, I think we've said this in a podcast many, many months ago, but you know, it's not survival of the individual fittest anymore. We need to have survival of the fittest as the community, right? So coming together and saying everybody has that worth and value, kind of like what we talked about yesterday, right? Everyone has that. How can we work together and collaborate as a community so that we all survive, right? It's changing thinking, okay? But that kind of survival of the fittest is still kind of in our unconscious of our society. And it's playing out all over the world, right? We point to, you know, the winners of everything, and we honor them as our heroes, even when they do things that we're like, that probably wasn't a good thing, right? We redirect our attention away from, you know, the achievements of others, right, towards, you know, all kinds of things. Like, for example, in a lot of the groups that I run, you know, we start off our groups with wins. And the wins are things that nobody would pull you up on a stage and give you an award for. But they're huge. Like, oh, I need a win because today, when this person said this thing that's bothered me all the time and I reacted with anger, I didn't this time. Hello, that's a win, right? Or I need a trophy today because, you know, I went to the grocery store by myself and I've been crippled with depression and anxiety for 3 weeks. Big trophy there, right? I need a trophy today because I set aside my work to go outside and play with my kids when they asked me to. And I've not done that before. Huge trophy, right? So we in our society, we don't give those trophies out, do we? But yet that's the important stuff. So when we do that, it releases this pressure to feel like, you know, you have to be bigger than life. You have to be, you know, social media is that place where you're like, oh, I got to have it all together. Which if you follow me on Facebook, you'll notice, that's not true. I will be real and honest because sometimes I need help. And sometimes, you know, I know that sharing my story is going to help someone else. So this idea of self-respect, right? It really honors our innate abilities above the things that we do. So that's like looking at your worth rather than your value, right? So you're worthy no matter what. So I think, you know, developing awareness and sensitivity and realizing that demeaning competition really has no place in our society anymore. I think if we all really focused on that and said, we're not here to fight, you know, so what does that look like? Well, when you're in a conversation with someone and they're into debating, right? They're trying to win the argument. Well, you can say, hey, listen, I just want to relate with you. Like I'm not here to debate. And if someone can't do that, they can't adjust, maybe consider having less conversations with them. If you're in a team meeting and everybody has that, like, my idea has to win, you know, there's certain things that I can teach you if you're interested that will actually help the team move forward, so that you're looking at the actual problem, not who's going to win, you know, the idea, right? So we need to start recognizing that our purpose is really to uplift each other, right? To come to this place of harmony and alignment and working together. Because here's the thing, you know, I know a lot of people don't realize this or believe it, but life is abundant, right? There really is more than enough to go around. Like, I know people are very sensitive to this idea of money these days, and I see it all over, you know, that, you know, there's a lot of people who are blaming rich people for problems in the world. And if you truly understood how money works, first of all, you'd know that's not the case. In the field of education that I'm in, of course, the greatest argument for why we have issues with employee engagement and staff turnover is that we don't pay people enough. Now, I agree. The people who are working in this field have high worth and high value, many of them. I also understand that money likes to go to people who are valuable. Okay. So what does that mean? That means when you are a person such as what we're talking about today, you're going to sit there and you're going to blame some other people why you don't have money. You're going to just complain that you don't have money. You're going to say, I can't fix any of this, these problems because I don't have money. Well, what could you do in the meantime? So for example, my talk last week was really on the things that you could do right now without money, totally free, that's going to keep your employees engaged and keep them from leaving you. So I'm not against going and talking to and trying to find more funding and trying to bring more value to those who are valuable. I'm not against that at all. But money likes to see that you're actually doing something. And so can't sit there and complain. You got to actually go out and make the world a better place. The people and organizations who are really adopting what I'm sharing with you today, who are ditching the competition and say, let's collaborate, money is finding them from all kinds of places. Okay. So abundance is not like a piece of pie. If I take a piece, you don't have as much. Life is not pie, okay? It's just an endless flow. And so there's more than enough to go around. But we have to make sure that we are focusing on those right things like love and support and collaboration in order for us to, you know, receive that abundance. So I just offer this to you today, you know, thinking about, where do you fall in that spectrum? You know, if you had on one end of the spectrum competition and the other one collaboration, if you had to put a little X somewhere in there, you know, would you be more towards one end or the other, maybe in the middle? And ask yourself why. Why would you give that assessment? And what would you like to do about that, right? What's your next action step? What do you need to learn? So if you are a competitor, okay, what do you need to learn to be more of a collaborator, right? Just begin to start to think about this. Is there any person or group or organization that you work with that you're like, I can practice this more here, okay? And begin to notice the people in your life. Are they competitors or are they collaborators? Can you, you know, if you were to do that same sliding scale with them, where would you put that little X based on what you know about them right now? And, you know, who is open to collaborating versus who is, you know, has more of that closed mindset and you know for sure, oh, they're definitely going to be a competitor and there might not be changing anytime soon. Okay. Just do a little evaluation, see what you come up with. Okay. All right. Hey, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And with that, I release you into the wild. Go forth and prosper. Have an amazing day. We'll catch you next time. All right. Bye-bye.